Father, as we gather here this morning, we thank you, your Spirit dwells amongst us. And we pray this Advent season that you would just open our hearts to you this day. Reveal those ways in which we fall short and make us humble to be willing to repent and to see who you're calling us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the late 16th century, Nicholas Copernicus proposed a radical new idea that the sun was the center of the universe and not the earth. And a couple of decades later, a Danish astronomer named Tycho Brahe concluded that Copernicus's heliocentric universe could not possibly be true. And he said this because it would require that the stars exist to such a great an extent, too great of extent, that it'd be impossible for that to happen. This is what he wrote in his critique. He said, it is necessary to preserve in these matters some decent proportion, lest things reach out to infinity and the just symmetry of creatures and visible things concerning size and distance be abandoned. So Brahe's unwillingness to accept the vastness of the universe became a stumbling block from which he was unable to grasp reality, that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the universe. Stumbling blocks like Brahe's can come in many different forms, but there's always one thing common about them, is that these stumbling blocks blind us from being able to see truth. All of us have them. Every one of us. We all have them. And this Advent season provides a perfect opportunity for us to allow God to reveal them to us and to allow him to take our blindness away. So turn your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 11. And I do invite you to take your Bibles out because I think this is, you know, we do this because I want you to go back and actually examine the scriptures because the Lord is actually speaks to us. And the more that we meditate on his word, the better. So take your Bibles out, the ones here or from your phones as well, which you can underline, you can highlight in your phone and take notes as well. All right. Now, our gospel warns us of the consequences of stumbling blocks. That's the essence of what this chapter is about. And the passage is structured around three flawed assessments because of stumbling blocks. Number one, John's assessment of Jesus. Two, the religious leader's assessment of John. And three, the people's, in general, assessment of who Jesus was. So here's the context of the first deficient assessment. So John the Baptist, the prophet who was called people to repentance at the River Jordan, had now been put into prison. And from his cell, he heard all kinds of things about Jesus, which caused him to question whether he was really the Messiah. And through a message that was delivered to him through his disciples, this is what he asked Jesus in verse 3. So are you the one to come, or shall we look for another? And in response, Jesus echoes the words of Isaiah chapter 35 and chapter 61. From Isaiah 35, he says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And so these things were supposed to accompany the true Messiah. And then from Isaiah 61, describing the attributes of this anointed one, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. Now, when John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus, heard God's voice clearly at that moment. God had told him, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And at that point, he knew without a doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. But after that, Jesus' actions and his demeanor didn't line up with the expectations, his expectations of what he thought the Messiah was supposed to be like. And we can only speculate why his expectations fell short. John may have found it hard to accept Jesus' free attitude and the company that he kept with sinners. It's also possible that John, like many Jews, understood the role of the Messiah in a more politically nationalistic light and was disappointed by the low-key nature of Jesus' village message of teaching and healing. Moreover, the reports that he received likely gave no indication of the fiery judgment which John had prophesied would accompany the Messiah. And so he had trouble reconciling his own ministry with the one that Jesus was carrying out. But whatever the reason, he now doubted that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. And he risked stumbling over the identity of the very one that he had been called to identify. Now, Jesus concludes this first assessment in verse 6. And this is key to the whole passage. He says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Now, the Greek word offended here doesn't actually appear in Greek literature, so it's not really a Greek word. It is rather a word borrowed from the thought and speech of the Old Testament. So in Hebrew, the word is used in relation to God and refers to an obstacle coming to faith which causes one to go astray. And so here it refers to John's inability to reconcile the reality of Jesus with his own expectations of the Messiah. His expectations were becoming a stumbling block. Now, the case of John the Baptist illustrates the propensity of us all to be incapable of seeing truth because of a stumbling block in the way that we process the world. And these stumbling blocks represent those areas of our lives that don't line up with God's rule. When we embrace Jesus as his disciples, we become a new creation. We're saved from sin, and we look forward to spending eternity with Jesus and his people. However, it takes time to develop a Christian worldview. Things don't change immediately. A Christian worldview is one that perfectly aligns with God's rule and puts Jesus as the center of everything that we do. And so most of us, therefore, have a syncretistic, a combination of secular and Christian worldviews until our faith matures. And as a result, we can be blind to spiritual truths because we still hold on to a worldly perspective that can become a stumbling block to our understanding. Now, you might recall about 5 years ago when several well-known, respected Christian leaders prophesied that Donald Trump would win the presidency in 2020. How do we reconcile these prophecies of men that we respect, Jeremiah Johnson, Chris Vallutin, Dutch Sheets, and Pat Robertson, who claimed they heard from the Lord that Trump would win the election, with the reality of those results? So it's not that these men aren't Christian. And I think we too often conclude that. Well, they're not Christian then. That's not true. But they had a stumbling block that obstructed them from hearing the genuine word of God. Their overzealous alignment with Trump caused them to deviate from God's will, creating confusion among God's people. And thus, they had ears, but they could not hear. Christians need to be careful that we don't attach ourselves too closely to any political movement. A Christian worldview grasps we are citizens not here on earth, but in heaven. Now, not only do all of us have stumbling blocks, but we need to be aware that we can become stumbling blocks to one another. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul addresses the issue of eating meat dedicated to idols in the markets that were sold in Corinth. And while it technically wasn't wrong for the Corinthians to eat this meat because, well, these idols aren't true gods, it would become an issue if it caused another to sin. And so if a brother or sister believe that eating meat dedicated to idols is a sin, eating that meat might cause them to stumble. And then we would be guilty of a sin. And therefore, we must be aware that all of us don't share the same freedoms. Some of us may look at something as a sin, and another may not. And so it's always better for us to give up our freedoms and love our brothers and sisters than potentially cause them to stumble. Now, stumbling blocks can lead to wrong conclusions, as it did with the leaders of the religious leaders in their assessment of John the Baptist. Most Pharisees and scribes rejected John's ministry. Few cared that Herod had put him into prison because, well, he just didn't act like a religious leader. In verse 7 through 14, Jesus gives his own assessment of John. Jesus says, he wasn't a reed shaken by the wind. And by this, he meant that his message wasn't adapted to fit with the prevailing wisdom of the day. No, his message was uncompromising and potentially unpopular. His own stubbornness and lack of tact had landed him into prison. Nor was John the sort of man to wear soft clothing. Far from luxurious living, John's rough asceticism was legendary. And while the religious leaders, because of these things, could not accept John's ministry, Jesus provides us with his own assessment of John the Baptist. He said, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. In fact, he was the last of the Old Testament prophets and the long-awaited Elijah promised in scriptures, who was to come to prepare the way of the Lord. The religious leaders couldn't see this because, as Luke 7:30 points out, they refused to see. They had their own stumbling blocks and refused to be baptized by him. Jesus warns in verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Stumbling blocks, especially emotional stumbling blocks, can cause us to become deaf to spiritual realities. A vivid example of this is Peter, when he reprimanded Jesus for talking about suffering. And Jesus famously responded with, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter could not accept how the Messiah could possibly be put to death. Stumbling blocks can arise from our disobedience to God's word. So in John's first letter, he describes his concern for those in the church who don't love each other. He's clear about their spiritual condition in chapter 2, verse 9. He says that whoever says he is in the light and hates his brothers is still in darkness. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, whoever hates his brother and doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The darkness has become the stumbling block. Beloved, let's not take these verses lightly. They're meant for us today. We hate each other when we gossip about each other. We hate each other when we refuse to forgive each other. We hate each other when we dismiss, reject, and deceive each other. And the consequence, not only for us individually, but I think as a church, is we develop a blindness. We can't see spiritual things. A final erroneous assessment of this chapter focuses on the people's rejection of Jesus. In many ways, people of his time were no different than people today. Both love to be critics. Using a parable from religious life in verses 16 through 19, Jesus describes some children calling out to their playmates, criticizing them for not doing as they expect them to do. In the same way that people were complaining about John, calling him demonic because of his strange ascetic ways, and about Jesus, calling him a glutton and a drunkard for hanging out with sinners. Their criticism revealed a stumbling block, a desire for a Messiah in their own image, which blinded them from seeing the real Savior of the world, who stood in their midst. Stumbling block can cause us to miss out on the blessings of God. He has more for us, but we have to be able to hear and we have to be able to see. Now, admittedly, we all have these stumbling blocks, every one of us. And we see them most clearly when we're trying to justify our own actions or judge the actions of others. So how do we overcome these stumbling blocks in our lives? Well, Isaiah 28 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who's laid the foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Stumbling blocks diminish as we embrace Christ as this cornerstone and foundation of everything. Stumbling blocks arise when we allow parts of our lives not to be surrendered over to Jesus. We tend to cordon off parts of our lives and we say, okay, this is for God and this is mine to do what I want to do with. We claim those areas as our territory. And so we never invite Jesus into our jobs. And if we don't do that, then our jobs can become stumbling stones. If we never invite Jesus into our hobbies or recreation activities, they will become stumbling stones. If we never invite Jesus into our families or our friends, then our families and friends can become stumbling stones. If we never invite Jesus into our political, social, even religious pursuits, they can also become stumbling stones. Our confidence must be in Jesus. Everything must be submitted to Jesus. Every part of our lives. But here's the problem. We've developed a certain amount of confidence in our own ability. We feel competent to manage certain things in our life without incorporating Jesus. This is easy. I can do it. We think we know something when we really don't. To avoid stumbling blocks, we must approach life with humility, always willing to have a posture of learning and submission. God may have something new to show us. See, when we allow stumbling blocks to guide our lives, we stop growing spiritually. And many people reach a certain age and they stop growing spiritually. And if you feel like that's the case, it's because there's stumbling blocks in your life. You no longer can hear spiritual things anymore. And the Lord wants to change that. He wants us to be a people who truly have eyes to see and ears to hear. The fact is, God doesn't think like us. And we think he does. In Isaiah 55, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Perhaps the greatest evidence that God isn't like us was revealed when he sent his son to die for a people who hated him and rejected him over and over and over again. He loved us that much. And the least that we can do is to love one another. Advent provides us with an opportunity to remove the stumbling blocks in our lives, but it begins by asking the Lord, where am I blind? Where am I deaf? And you may not like what the Lord shows you, but if you're humble and are ready to repent, God will reveal to you the secrets of his kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, in the silence this morning, I pray that we would hear your voice. That through your word, that through our brothers and sisters in the church, that through your spirit, you would reveal, Lord, those parts of our lives where stumbling blocks prevent us from grasping the things of the kingdom. Lord, show us this Advent season those stumbling blocks in our lives. And give us the courage to see them for what they truly are and to repent that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name.